Okay, Shalom Rabbi Isai. We are in Chavis Halvavis Sha'ar Yichud HaMaisa, still in the middle of Perek Hey, discussing the various tactics of the Yetzer Hara. So, yesterday we saw, up to now we've been seeing basically the Yetzer Hara comes with hitting our emunah in various ways, various aspects of our emunah, from emunah in Hashem himself to Olam Haba, to being weakened because what we saw yesterday when it seems that there is Tzadik Vera Lo Yirasha V'Toivloi, etc. Chazal. Now we move on to another assault. So again, we're in Perek Hey. Kasher Yisya'esh Hayetzer Migvor Aleinu Min Aparim Wa'ele. When the Yetzer Hara gives up on hitting us with these things we've been discussing, Yisapik Aleinu Gmulo Olam Habava Onshoy. He'll hit us in our belief in Olam Haba from a different direction. He will try to confound us, to confuse us. Because of how it's virtually non-existent in the Torah itself. And how it barely gets any mention. However, if we study, if you look throughout Tanakh, it's there. It's true that it doesn't appear much. I once heard someone made the ridiculous argument. Okay, it was one of those articles that I made the mistake of reading because someone asked me to respond to it. I'm not going to get into the whole subject of the article now, but he's talking, you know, against a certain concept that's very central to Torah. He said, there is almost no mention of it in the Gemara. That's almost no mention of the Gemara mean? Almost no mention of the Gemara means how many dapim do you have in the Gemara? What's that? So it only appears four times, meaning other than the few places that it appears, it doesn't appear anywhere else, which is basically true about anything in the Gemara. Everything in the Gemara, there's almost no mention of it in the Gemara because it's only in a couple of places that it appears, right? So here he's saying there's barely any mention of Olam Haba in the Torah. So he says, that's true. It only appears in those few places that it appears. Now, the truth is I'm oversimplifying it because we would think that something as central as Olam Haba would have more attention. But nevertheless, why it doesn't is another discussion. But to say that it actually is not rooted in Tanakh is simply wrong, as he shows now. If you look at the other Sfarim of Tanakh, you will find it. Kimai, what are a few examples? Baruch toshuv elo elokim asher nisana. Right, this is Koheles. The spirit will go back to Hashem who gave it. Zechariah, v'nosati l'cho mahalchim ben ha'oim d'mayle. Hashem promises the Kohen Gadol of the time. He shows him the malachim and he says, I'm going to give you a stand among these malachim. Tehillim says, Morav tuvcha asher tzofanti l'reyecha. How great is the good that you have hidden away for those who fear you. Yeshaya says, Ayin l'ro'aso elekim zulascho yasal ha'mechak eloi. No eye other than yours, Hashem, sees what he has in mind for those who are waiting loyally for him. This is also in Yeshaya. Your righteousness shall clear away a path before you, and the glory of Hashem will gather you in. And there are plenty of other such instances. And yes, we have Chazal giving us the bigger picture. And also he says it's intellectually sound. Tanuach nafshenu v'tivtach beveiro chiyuv hagmul v'ainish b'olam haba. He says, yes, again, if you're not looking, if it's not an agenda to not see it, you'll see it. It's true. It's here and there. It's scattered, but it is there. You can't say it's not there. The Kuzari goes on and actually shows sources from the Torah itself. The Kuzari gives, for example, a pasuk of Bilam, which is virtually an explicit reference to Olam Haba, where Bilam says, "Tamus nafshi moisi shon musiach chisi kamoyu." Right? Bilam says, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like theirs." Now, why is it not properly elaborated in the Torah? So that was discussed above. The Chavos HaLevi spoke about that back in Shavuot HaSelikim. We'll just say in a very general way right now that he gave a number of profound reasons. We'll just say in a very general way right now, one of the reasons that he says is that you can't try to describe to a material person what spiritual reward is. So yes, it's there. It was always inherently ingrained in the knowledge of our nation from before Matan Torah. And the Torah doesn't describe it. The Torah says, you already know that it's there. I'm not going to describe it. The Kuzari has a very interesting take on this. He, Mamish, comes from a direction that almost turns the whole question around. The Kuzari says, you know why the Torah doesn't describe Olam Haba? So he says that actually, Olam Haba is not meant to be experienced only after death. The Torah provides you with the means of experiencing Olam Haba in this world. Because back in the great days of Nevuah, Guzari talks about this at length, you have to appreciate what Nevuah was. Nevuah was experiencing Olam Haba. A person who really applied himself in those great days was able to achieve Nevuah. A person achieved Nevuah, he was actually experiencing Olam Haba. This was Hashem touching down to him. And the Kuzari describes how, after a person had that experience, he lost all interest in anything material after that. Any pleasures afterwards would pale in comparison with the immense thrill of Olam Haba. And from that point on, it would just be about, will I merit to feel this again? Will I get that experience again? But it says the Torah provides you with the means of experiencing it in this world. The Torah doesn't have to leave it for promises for the next world. Here are the instructions. Go ahead, apply yourself. You can do it. Chazal say that we had Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael, Kiflayim Kiyotzim Mitzrayim, 1.2 million. So I tried to make a very rough estimate. I don't know. I don't even remember now. I did this like more than 10 years ago, and I don't know if it was well-based, but it came out approximately that there was a Navi in every, if we're talking in contemporary terms, there was a Navi in every couple of buildings, meaning more Nevi'im than we have Rabbanim in the neighborhood. A Navi in every couple of buildings. Guzari talks about how not only did the Navi himself get impacted in that way, but how he says that even a person who saw a Navi getting Nevuah, it was so intense, you know, you couldn't just stay on your feet with full composure when he got Nevuah. A person lost his senses when he got Nevuah. He dropped to the ground and he went into a state. And just seeing the state had such an impact on people looking on that they became changed people for the rest of their lives. The Rambam describes how once a person had Nevuah, that's it. He now moved into a different level of existence. Yeda, I forgot exactly his lashon, but something to the effect of that he is no longer a person like the others around him. He's not the person he used to be anymore. So that's the Kuzari's take on this. Kind of gives us a bit of a sense of what we're waiting for when we're davening for Shimcha Letzion Berachamim. Time to get back to that. Okay, now we move on. And now he moves into a little bit more material assaults of the Yetzer Hara. Up to now, it was a little bit more philosophical. When the Yetzer Hara gives up on trying to hit us, with everything we've already discussed. Yishtadel le'atzel oisanu b'maseh ha'avodah. Then it comes from the other direction. Tries to slow us down. Laziness. Meaning, if it can't hit us at the core, if it can't hit us in our emunah, with all of its various facets, then he comes with just trying to slow us down. You believe it all, but I'll hit you in other directions. Yatridenu be'inyone oylameinu mimachal umishte umalbush umerkav. He'll hit you with laziness. He'll try to get you busy with all kinds of other things just to distract you and to push your spiritual focus to back burner. Or at least not mamish at center stage. Or at least to share center stage with other things so that invariably it'll slow you down. It'll slow your production rate. Wants to really get you involved with materialism because that is a very, very good diversion. It's a very good diversion. He says later, and I don't want to stress this, he says later that avas, you have to understand this properly. He says later that avas ilam hazev, avas ilam abayim, kishtei tzores. It's like avas ilam hazev, love of ilam hazev, love of ilam abayim, like two tzores, co-wives, right, that can't really exist together. You have to appreciate, this does not mean that material pleasures cannot exist with a focus on Olam Haba. He means ahavas, meaning making that a focus, making that an agenda in life, making it a pursuit. If you live for, if you make a pursuit out of material accomplishment slash pleasure in Olam Hazeh, if that's what you're living for, even though you're also a firm person, you'll be living for both, when you have two agendas in life, you can't be single-mindedly dedicated to either one, obviously, right? But he's not saying that pleasure of Olam Hazeh is a steer to Olam Haba. When a person's focus is Olam Haba, when a person's agenda in life is pursuit of Olam Haba, and that is what he is gearing everything in life toward, that's how he's setting up his life, there will be plenty of room for material pleasure, which is part of that process, right? Part of getting to Ilam Abba is a comfortable existence in this world so as to be able to operate optimally. That's what the Kuzari says. The Kuzari says that the king of Kuzar was disappointed. He doesn't see true piety by the Jewish people. He doesn't see true piety by the Jewish people. Why? What does a pious person look like? If you look in the other religions, you see a monk who goes to live up in the hills in a cave, dressed in a bear skin, and eats berries that he picks from around, and that's all. Well, what kind of business is this that the religion, a person could be said to be living the highest level of religious life? The guy is married, and he is running a business, and just living a really material life. And the Kuzari says that, yes, that's what the Torah expects of us. The Torah expects of us to be living in the material world and living there, in providing our needs in a balanced way and comfortably pursuing Olam Haba. Says, when a person decides to dedicate his life to asceticism, is that how you pronounce it? Precious, right? He says, what that ends up doing, that person is not going to be productive spiritually because by us, spiritual productivity is very, very much about the mind, right? Intellectual accomplishment. And when a person starts just depriving himself, he gets uptight, he gets depressed, and that's not conducive toward, you know, intellectual productivity, etc. You have to be living comfortably. Where does precious come in? It's a delicate subject. It has to be properly understood, but it does not mean let me just squelch myself. Let me squelch myself. A squelched person is a depressed person. A depressed person is not going to be productive. So again, you set your sights on spirituality, and that's how you structure your life. You don't want to have anything in your life that is coming at the expense of your spirituality. But involved in a life program of achieving spirituality, enjoying the hanois that come along the way are a very healthy and actually productive part of it. They can all be worked into that program, as long as they don't turn into an independent agenda. As long as they don't turn into an independent agenda. This is really something that deserves more elaboration, but I want to stress this now, here in this context, where the Chavos HaLevavos is telling us that is an assault of the Yetzer Hara. One of the assaults of the Yetzer Hara is to get you to turn gashmius into an agenda, into a pursuit. And then he knows that if he lives a good, firm person, you'll be medaktik, etc. It's going to slow you down. It's going to slow you down. You'll be much less productive. So now, okay. Although I'll have to concede a basic lifestyle of gashmius, but he says, he starts moving into that. You have to step it up. You have to upgrade it. There's all kinds of other luxuries that you have to have in your life. Okay, we're mamish in mid-sentence here, but we'll stop here for tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.